The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Wilhelm, Menahal at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. This shiur has been sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. Reuven Shanik, Le'iloi Nishmas Rav Hirsch ben Rav Beryl Zichroni Levracha.
Gittin Daf Chof. In this short shiur, we will be discussing the halachic significance of writing over an existing letter, where one has an existing ksav and for some reason, intentionally or unintentionally, he traces the original letter. How do we view this? On one hand, he has performed the exact motions which are capable of forming a new letter. However, being that the sole achievement is an additional layer to a pre-existing item, perhaps this bears no halachic significance. Assume the halacha was to validate the second ksiva, there are two possibilities of how we can interpret this. One possibility is to regard the second ksiva as an addition to the first one, and the second possibility would be to view it as a replacement. Not only is it an addition, but it's replacing the underlying ois. The simple nafkamina would be in a case where not only the first ksav is devoid of a positive requirement, but has a negative element attached to it. Its psul is due to something that's so to speak, spoiled, not just because it's missing. Of course, anyone reared in the lumbus of the yeshiva automatically is prompted, when dealing with any psul, to analyze it to each specific instance on its own. For many times, what seems to be a mere omission of the halachic requirement is actually the creation of a monster, so to speak. Call it either psul chiyuvi or psul shlili. So here, this would be dependent on how we view the achievement of ksav al gabei ksav, were we to validate the second ksiva. Is it a replacement? In that case, it could rectify a psul chiyuvi, something which is distorted, and if it's not a replacement, but it could just be viewed at best as an addition, so we can't rectify something which is distorted, we can only replace something which is missing. Okay, we'll see further a little bit about some practical applications to this. Now, besides this, we've seen in the previous daft that in addition to the validation of the second act of ksiva, it's possible that one has successfully negated the previous effect. Again, this is independent of whether the second action is regarded as an addition or a replacement. In addition to this, perhaps we have effectively removed the previous impression, the previous ksav. This seems to be what we find in the Gemara, the previous daf on Daf Yutes, as a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. However, this is not the purpose of this shiur, and it's beyond the scope of this shiur to even address this. However, we will mention it, for it will almost certainly enter the realm of lumbus, perhaps subconsciously. But just identify it and realize that it's really independent of what we're dealing with. Without quoting the exact text of the Gemara, we have a machlokes, Rav Acha bar Yankov and Rav Chista, as to the application of the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. Now, the original machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is the instance of Ksivas Hashem. We know that Ksivas Hashem, when a sefer goes to write the Shem Hashem in Svarim, Tefillin, or Mezuzos, it must be performed with the specific intent of Kedushas Hashem. Acute but unfortunate piece of history we see from the Poskim, we'll just mention it, although it deviates from the main topic here, but it's important to learn a lesson from here of how skeptical we have to be when attempting to glean some halachic conclusions from artifacts or archives, especially where there's an explicit directive from the Poskim and Minog. The Poskim, we find over here that the Poskim denounce what seemed to have been common, where ignorant Seferim wrote the Shem Hashem, whether it was the Shem Hashem or the actual entire piece of Stam, whether it's a Sfarim, Tefillin, Mezuzos, that need the Shem Kedushas, they have to have intent with regard to the entire Ksiva, Hashem Kedusha, and they were Seferim who, when their ignorance, had the intent which is found here in the Gemara and Gittin. Lishma, they just understood Lishma. Lishma means I have to have in mind who commissioned me, who I'm writing it for, just as I have the Sefer has in mind the Ish and the Isha by Gittin. So he will have in mind who's going to be performing the mitzvah, who commissioned him to do the stam, which is of course a tremendous display of ignorance, and should serve to use caution where we formulate our opinions. We should always stick to the Paiskim and the Menhagim, which were established in Klal Yisrael. But anyways, going back to our Gemara, the Machlekes of Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham is with regard to the Ksivas Hashem, where the Sefer was supposed to write the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, but his intent was to write Yehuda, and he forgot the Dalet. May he go afterwards of the way it is? It's possible. Can he rectify it by retracing the letter, rewriting the letter without erasing the letter? So we have over here a machlokes of Yehuda and Chacham, and it's very important to point out that although the Lashon of the Gemara, Lashon of Chacham, the actual quote from the Chacham indicate that this may only be an optimal suggestion, where the Chacham say in Hashem in Amufchor, which would imply that we're missing some element of Lachatchila, but the Rashi brings Yishami that in fact the Chacham hold that it's possible to be Eved, and Rabbi Yehuda accepts it, because Ksav Ogab Ksav Hab Ksav, he validates the second Ksiva as to rectify the first Ksiva. Interestingly, we find a similar regularity with regard to Rav Acha Bar Yankov's reasoning, that Rav Yaakov argues on Rav Chista, that Rav Chista wants to apply the Machlokes, Bono Machlokes, Rav Yehuda v'Chachamim, to the same instance where we had a problem with the Ksiva Bagitin. And Rav Yaakov says that you can't apply it because even the Chachamim, who are stringent with regard to rectifying the first Ksav with the second Ksav, it's only due to the fact that you need an aspect of Zekei Levan Deyu. And as opposed to Gittin, where although it's from the Tariyag Mitzvahs, it's only a mitzvah to conform when necessary. Of course, one was not obligated to perform Gittin. He's not going to be missing from the Ramach Hevarim Shagidim that is spoken about by fulfilling all the Tariyag Mitzvahs. It's just a halacha, how to conform to when necessary, but you don't need a zekei levan deyu, since it's not a mitzvah as the writing of Shem Hashem is. So this what's interesting again is that usually zekei levan deyu is associated with the hidur mitzvah. And you find in Sukkah that zekei levan deyu is the reason behind the psul of an esrog, but generally it's not used in that context. And it's just interesting that we find it again. And this Gemara, not to get confused, we're talking about with a kosher and puzzle. And those are the two. Those are the two tzedakim over here. Now, to really understand the fundamentals of the question at hand, we really must discuss the seeming contradiction between our Gemara here on Daf Chof and the previous Gemara on Daf Yutes, which we just learned. With regard to the actual case of Ksav al Gabi Ksav, the previous Gemara says that the issue of Ksav al Gabi Ksav is limited to two different substances of Sikra, Diyar al Gabi Sikra, as opposed to Diyar al Gabi Diyar, which has no significance. What you're doing is just thickening the material that's already here on the page. There's absolutely no significance, and therefore it does not constitute a Ksav al Gabi Ksav. And of course, our Gemara clearly deals with the implication of Ksav al Gabi Ksav, even though it was performed with Diyar al Gabi Diyar. And this obvious question is raised by all the Rishonim, and as is typical for the discussion in Rishonim, the superficial reading would seem to have all the Rishonim concur to one answer, and of course, this is clearly modified by careful attention to the exact wording of the Rishonim. If you would put the answer simply, we could say that the difference between the first Gemara, where Diyar al-Gabi Diyar has no significance, to our Gemara is because the first Gemara of Diyar al-Gabi Diyar, the second layer of Diyar, has no significance with regard to physical or mechanical implications, and therefore has no significance lahalacha. Masha'in Kain, our Gemara deals with a second Ksiva of Diyar, which has an advantage of, over the first one, that it was performed with a lishma. So there's an element of halacha which is present in the second ksiva, making it significantly different than the first ksiva. And in such a case, I could already kick in with the implication of ksav l'gabi ksav. So again, the fact that there's a significance to a subsequent Siva triggers off a question whether or not I can attach an additional significance of Ksav al Gabi Ksav and whatever the implication may be, which we'll get to in a minute. Now, even before the question raised by the Rishonim resolving the two Gemaras, the first impression of Ksav al Gabi Ksav also takes a sharp turn when you learn the Gemara a little bit, because the fact that the Gemara attaches the instance of Ksav al Gabi Ksav and limits it to the dissimilar substances would indicate that we're not focused on the method, but rather a physical and mechanical aspect. Okay? We have two contradictory Ksavim, one's Yoy, one's Sikra, so this clash leads us to determine which one should prevail. Should we look at the first ksiva, or should we validate the second ksiva? However, in truth, the only reason, if you look at the Gemara and look at Rashi, the only reason why there's a significance to Diyoy al-Gabi Diyoy, to Diyoy al-Gabi Sikra, is because of its implication with regard to Hilchos Shabbos. Because there's a Melechus Machshavos performed by Diyoy al-Gabi Sikra, this leads us to a situation of ksav al gabi ksav, and we are left to determine which ksav will prevail, the first one or the second one. And this, of course, aligns very well with what we see from the Rishonim, that the difference between the two Gemaras, where our Gemara has an issue of ksav al gabi ksav, even in a case of diyor al gabi diyoi, is due to the fact that there is a halachic significance of the second ksav over the first ksav. So again, we understand that what's accomplished here and what we're dealing with is not the materialistic aspect of rewriting, replacing chatzitzas, but actually a significant lahalach, or a significant implication. Then we have to determine whether or not we go with the existing or the previous, the original one. Now let's get back to the first shaila, which we mentioned. You know, what are we looking at over here? If indeed we do validate the second ksav, let's say we were to treat the second ksav al gabi ksav havei ksav. Let's say we would say ksav al gabi havei ksav. So what's accomplished here? Is this a replacement of the first ksav, or is this an addition to the first ksav? So if you look at the Sefer Trumas and other Rishonim, it says clearly that the only possibility that exists is to add to the first ksav. Whereas the Sefer Trumas is speaking about the case of Chok Teichus, which we're not going to get into, that sugya, it's a mind chain lehem soif. In the case where one performed the first ksiva with carving, with the chakika, so it's not rectified by going it over, and the Sefer Trumas says that it's not, you can't apply, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, or even according to Rabbi Chaim Yankov, it's not applicable the ksav al gabi ksav machlokes, because when ksav al gabi ksav, we're not rewriting, we're not replacing, but rather we're just adding. So if we're missing an element of lishma, you could add lishma. But if you had a distorted eyes, So you can't say that the new ice replaces the distorted ice. And Tosfos seems to say, at least in my opinion, and in the opinion of others also, the Achronim that argue on this, but Tosfos seems to say that no, it's true that although we're dealing with the significance of the second Tzav, but what's happening is that the significance is triggering a replacement. The significance, the fact that there's a significance in the second Tzav, and I'm validating Tzav al Gabei Tzav, so I'm replacing the first ice. I'm replacing the first ice, and therefore it's possible that even in the case where there's a distorted ice, it may be replaced with Tzav al Gabei Tzav. Now, la'alocha, we don't really have a lenient application to this la'alocha because most Rishonim, the Rambam, and most Rishonim Paskin, according to Rav Chisda, who applies the Machlokes of Yudin and Chachamim, whereby we would have a Maskana that Tzav al Gabei Tzav lo yavei Tzav. There is a view which is brought as the Yeshayim in the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashba, who rule that we must be choshish for the view of Rav Acha bar Yankov, that in this case, kulam lepligri, it is universally accepted that the second tzav may rectify the first tzav, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch says that in an instance where there was an issue with the first tzav, where it was possible, and it was replaced by a Tzav al Gabei Tzav, a second Tzav, which rectified this, which had this missing element, whatever, if it was a Shema, whatever it was. So in such a case, where the get was performed with this document, we have to treat this lady as a Megureshet L'chumra. Okay, now, what are the applications to the day-to-day, or maybe it's not day-to-day, but at least it comes up a little more often than Gittin, with regards to Stam? We have, just briefly to touch on, you know, there's an issue of sometimes you'll have Oseus, which are on the verge of becoming possible, or perhaps they're questionable, without getting into the Machlokes of Oseus, which have faded. And your person wants to rewrite them to strengthen them, to give them the black color, or maybe the certain oases which are severed, which may be rectified in the Sefer Torah, and some certain cases may be rectified in some mezuzahs. And there are times where we get into a shaila of Ksav Lagabi Ksav, if the second person has not written this Lishma, does it help to rewrite a third layer of including the Lishma, and thereby solving the issue of the omission that it was missing. It was a chasaron of Lishma. Now I'm just adding it, which perhaps I could use it in a case where the underlying ksav was written in a kosher form. There was a middle ksav which was not performed correctly. La'alocha, may I rewrite it? And either way, I'm safe. We call them a man of shach. Is that acceptable or not? The halacha is that also the certain paint, whether it's in the ritzus or the batim, which must be performed lishma, has to be painted lishma. And here again, we get to a question: does ksav al gabei ksav apply to painting, or is it only limited to ksav? Again, as we've just seen, that it could be only in the execution, the performance of a ksav has a certain implications, as opposed to paint. We're not dealing with the physical layers of paint. We're dealing with a maisik siva. So perhaps it does not apply in such a case. Perhaps it does apply in such a case. These are all questions which are raised in the poskim. Again, the Mishabura Paskin said in an instance where we have a marshach, either way you're safe, whether the underlying layer, the original layer is fine, the second layer is no good, we may go over with the third layer. However, there are two different instances where the Mishmur brings this down. In one instance, the Mishmur is not so decisive. He strongly suggests that this should be the halacha. And the difference between the two cases is how was the middle layer of ksiva or paint, how was it performed? Was it unintentional? Was it a masasik ba'alma? It fell by itself, it fell from a person. or perhaps a natural occurrence, a wind, or whatever it may be. In that case, there's a strong basis to say that there's no question at all that it cannot replace, negate, or have any effect on a ksiva, because, or even a paint, which was done by Maisa, by Ali Day Maisa, was done with an action of a person. Merely ink on top of ink has no significance whatsoever. And perhaps there isn't, but in such a case, Mishru says you definitely could go it over with a third layer, in which case you've covered all your bases. You're covered either way. There is an instance where the second ksiva was done, the psul was done in an unacceptable fashion, but it was done with intent. It was done by a person. So in that case, it bears a greater level of significance, and perhaps we don't have this Maman of Shuch of going to either the original or the last ksiva. And of course, this is all dependent on how we look at the machlokes, how we understand the mechanics of this ksav or the ksav. An interesting and a common case and instance is many times that we mentioned, I think, in the previous year, where we have Oisiv Chalulus at the end of the Ksiv Sefer Torah, and people are honored by filling them in. Again, the consensus of the Paiskin seems to have the original Oisiv, if they were a strong outline, just missing the fill. So the general consensus of the Paiskin is that it's kosher, it's 100% kosher the way it is, and therefore the only question is the middle ksiva, so perhaps we would be able to go it over, perhaps not. But again, the best thing is that we just, a little prudence can save a lot of agmas nefesh, and we should just be cautious and conscious of our actions in the onset.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.